If you were to talk to the average Jewish person today and ask them about the New Testament and its relevancy, they would simply tell you, we don't believe in the New Testament. It's a Christian book. They just simply don't see any use for it. Well, what we want to show them is that the New Testament is a very, very Jewish book.
Proclaiming Jesus as Messiah, this is The Messianic Voice with Marty Zeid, the radio ministry of Midwest Messianic Center in St. Louis, an evangelical faith missionary organization helping to spread God's love to the Jewish people throughout the Midwest and beyond. Our goal is to help provide you with the tools you'll need to effectively witness to your Jewish friends and neighbors. I want to remind you to stay with us through the end of today's broadcast for information on how to receive some free resource material that we'd like to make available to you. But right now, let's rejoin Marty Zeid with A Messianic Voice.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in to the Messianic Voice program. We're coming to you from our headquarters here in St. Louis, Missouri, and I'm so glad you've joined us. Before we get into the program, I would, however, ask, if you don't mind, would you please grab a piece of paper and a pencil? Because at the end of the program, I'm going to give you our address, and you'll be able to write us and request a very, very important book that we're offering to you. Also, you may want to take down some of the verses that we're going to be covering, because we are in the midst of a series, which, if you have been with us, I hope you are finding very useful, very practical, and it's on ways in which we could effectively witness to a Jewish person. What is an effective way? Actually, we're going over a couple of ways. The first one that we discussed was messianic prophecy. I firmly believe that using messianic prophecy is very helpful. It shows that there is a continuity between the Old Testament and the New Testament. If you were to talk to the average Jewish person today and ask them about the New Testament and its relevancy, they would simply tell you, it has none for us. We don't believe in the New Testament. It's a Gentile book. It's a Christian book. They'll say all kinds of different things in reference to the New Testament. They just simply don't see any use for it. Well, what we want to show them is that the New Testament is a very, very Jewish book. They're probably not even aware that all of the writers of the New Testament were Jewish, with the possible exception of Luke. They also don't realize that there are hundreds of verses that are quoted in the New Testament right out from the Old Testament. And one way to show that is through messianic prophecy. We've already gone through several messianic prophecies. We took a look at the fact that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. We saw that in Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. And we saw that this was fulfilled through the person of the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 6. We also saw that the Messiah was going to be born by a virgin. Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14 talked about a sign that would be given. And we said that a young woman having a baby would certainly not be a sign, because that happens all the time. But if a virgin conceived and bore a child, that would be a miracle. And we saw how this was fulfilled in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. And the interesting thing there at the end of that chapter, even after Joseph and Mary were married, he kept her a virgin until Jesus was born, so there wouldn't be any confusion whatsoever about the fact that Jesus was born in a very unique, miraculous way. We also saw that the Messiah would be preceded by a forerunner. And of course, this was fulfilled by John the Baptist. We saw in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1, and Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 3. And we saw in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 10, Luke 7 and verse 27, and Mark chapter 1 verses 2 and 3, how this was fulfilled in the person of John the Baptist. And we saw in Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9 how the Messiah was going to make his entry into Jerusalem, riding upon a donkey. And that's exactly what happened in Matthew chapter 21 verses 1 through 11, when the Lord Jesus made his triumphal entry into the city of Jerusalem. And then there was an obscure prophecy in Psalm chapter 34 and verse 20 that none of his bones would be broken. And we saw that when Jesus was being crucified, there was one thief on one side, one thief on the other side. And the Jewish leaders were concerned that they might desecrate the Sabbath, so they wanted to hurry up and get their death over with so they could take them down from the cross. So they asked permission that their legs would be broken. Well, they broke the leg of one thief, they broke the legs of the other thief, but when they came to the Lord Jesus, they saw that he was already dead. They didn't have to break his legs, which fulfilled the prophecy that none of his bones would be broken. Psalm 34:20. We see the fulfillment of that in John chapter 19, verses 31 and 36. And then we saw in Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 6 that the Messiah would be hit upon, he would be spit upon, and we saw that this was fulfilled in Matthew chapter 26, verses 59 to 67. All of these prove, first of all, who God is, that he is the one who made these predictions hundreds and sometimes over 1,000 years in advance. Only God can do that. It certainly verifies and validates the authenticity and the authority and the accuracy of the Word of God, that he would be sold for 30 pieces of silver, that the money that he would be sold for would be thrown down into the house of God, that he would be forsaken by his disciples, he would be falsely accused, and on and on and on. The Lord Jesus fulfilled hundreds of these types of prophecies. What are the odds of that? Yes, messianic prophecy not only proves the trustworthiness of the Word of God, but it shows us who the Messiah is beyond any shadow of a doubt. And only the Lord Jesus fulfills these messianic prophecies. So that's why I feel that this is a very effective tool to use in our witnessing. Another effective tool, and I'm almost confident that you would be familiar with this way in which to witness. We call it the Romans Road. And I think this is a beautiful way to open up the Word of God to somebody, because the book of Romans is a very good book to use that clearly presents the gospel message. It shows what our need is. It shows how this need was satisfied through the person of the Lord Jesus, and what one needs to do in order to experience complete and total forgiveness of sins. But you know what? If you try to use the Romans Road with one of your Jewish friends, they're liable to say, wait a minute, that's not our Bible, that's the Christian Bible. And they may not want to listen to anything out of the New Testament. Well, I want to encourage you not to be discouraged. And the reason why is because we could use, well, what I've called the Isaiah Road, or the Jeremiah Road, or the Ecclesiastes Road, or the Psalms Road. In other words, what I mean by that, we could find our verses that states the same thing that the Romans Road states, only in the Old Testament. So what I want to do is go over some verses one by one, showing you, first of all, what verses we would use in Romans to prove that a person has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and how the Lord Jesus meets all of those needs by satisfying the payment of God's wrath by his death, burial, and resurrection, and show you that all of that's found in the Old Testament. So if you were witnessing to somebody and you wanted to use the Romans Road, probably one of the first verses that you would use would be Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, which says what? For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, I haven't come across too many people who are not willing to admit that they've sinned. I remember talking to one elderly individual, and he was convinced he had never sinned. He said to me, I've never done anything wrong. And I said, well, you know what? I'd like to talk to your wife for just 2 minutes, or talk to one of your relatives or your neighbors. They'll let us know what the truth is. Everybody sins. It doesn't matter who we are. I mean, to think that we all through our life have never done anything wrong, we've never violated any standard that God has laid out for us in his word, it's ridiculous. We've all sinned. And as a result of our sin, we fall short of the glory of God. That's a very serious thing, because that's really why God created us. He created us to glorify him, which means because of our sin, we can't even do that which God created us to do. Well, if a person says, hold on a minute, That's in the New Testament. I don't want to listen to anything in the New Testament. What would we show them in the Old Testament that would basically say the same thing as Romans 3:23? Well, here are some verses. Ecclesiastes 7:20 says this, "Indeed, there is not a righteous man on the earth who continually does good and who never sins." Well, that's the exact same thing that Paul said in Romans 3:23. However, it's in the Old Testament, or it would be in the Holy Scriptures. That's what the Jewish people call their Bible. And you know what? Ecclesiastes 7:20 is in their Bible. So you could say, well, hey, if you're not willing to look at my Bible, do you have a copy of the Holy Scriptures, the Jewish Bible? And if they do, turn them to Ecclesiastes 7:20 and read it to them, because it says the exact same thing. Another verse that you could show them that says the same thing that Romans 3:23 basically says is in Psalm 14 and verse 3. It says, "They have all turned aside. Together they have become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one." Now again, you know, this is talking from God's standard. From God's standard, nobody does good. From our standards, we might say, well, you know what? I have a nice neighbor. I know this person that I work with. They're nice. They're kind. They're polite. They're helpful. They're nice people. They do kind things. However, that's not going to do anything that will help them gain entry into heaven just because they're nice, kind, and polite down here. God has a completely different standard than what we have. His standard is absolute perfection, and nobody can come up to that. The only way that a person can be seen by God to be absolutely perfect is for him to give us his own righteousness. And you know what? That's the beautiful thing that happens when a person becomes a follower of the Lord Jesus. He imputes his righteousness to us. He gives us his righteousness in exchange for our sins. That's when God can say, yes, I accept you. I could accept you into my presence for all eternity. And he's able to declare us righteous. That's called justification. But in and of ourselves, we all fall short. We've all sinned. It says again, Psalm 14:3, we have all turned aside. Together they have become corrupt. There's no one who does good, not even one. Isaiah 53:6 says it this way, "All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way." So we're out in the world doing our own thing. We're walking in our own way. And you know, it says in Isaiah chapter 55 that God's ways are different from our ways. His thoughts are different from our thoughts. And it's important for us to line up with him. He doesn't have to line up with us. He doesn't have to lower his standards to accommodate our sin. His standards remain perfect. His standards remain holy. And what he does is he gives us his righteousness when a person by faith trusts the Lord Jesus. Our sins are forgiven. He imputes to us his righteousness. Then and only then are we able to do that which we were created to do. And according to the Bible, it tells us that we can then bring glory and honor to God by our life. So when you talk to them about Romans 3:23, and if they don't want to look at that verse because it's in the New Testament, give them Ecclesiastes 7:20, Psalm 14 and verse 3, Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6, and then here's another good one in Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6. It says, "For all of us," and notice how inclusive it is. It said that in Isaiah 53:6 as well, "all of us." Psalm 14:3, "We have all turned aside." This is true for everybody. And what is said here in Isaiah 64:6 is true for everyone as well. "For all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy garment." That's a very interesting verse. Because from God's perspective, even the righteous deeds that we try to do. In other words, these are the good things. These are the things even when we're trying to do good, even when we're trying to do right, God still sees them as a filthy garment. Why is that so? Why does God look upon our good deeds and call them filthy garments? The reason why is because we've all sinned. We've all sinned and we have fallen short of the glory of God. So even when we try to attempt to do something which is good, God still says it's a filthy garment. It's not good enough because it's been tainted, it's been stained, it's been corrupted by your sins. So that's the first part of the Romans Road. Romans 3 and verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And let me just run by those verses again. The Old Testament counterpart to this truth is Ecclesiastes 7:20, Psalm 14 and verse 3, Isaiah 53 and verse 6, and Isaiah 46 and verse 6. Now, the next verse that we normally use in the Romans Road would be Romans 6:23. We've established the fact in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned. Now we take it to the next step. And the next step is to show that there are some very, very serious consequences to our sins. It says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. The verse goes on and says, but the free gift of eternal life is through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages of sin is death. But most people don't realize the serious consequences to our sins. Most people don't realize that there are some horrible consequences. And the consequences is death, spiritual separation from the Lord. But the wonderful good news is that there is a free gift. And of course, that gift is through the Lord Jesus. And that's complete, total forgiveness of our sins when we trust Him and eternal life. You might be talking to a person from a Jewish background, and they might say, wait a minute, that's from the Christian Bible. That's from the Gentile Bible. We don't listen to that. So what would we show them instead of Romans 6:23 that talks about sin's consequences? Well, a couple of verses. Isaiah 59 and verse 2, but your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you, so He does not hear. So what are the consequences here spoken of concerning our sins? There's a separation between us and God. It's like we're on one side of this mountain, and God is on the other side of this mountain, and there's this huge canyon in between. There's this separation that exists between God who is holy and man who is sinful. And the only way for that to be bridged is through the person of the Lord Jesus. What He did when He came to this earth and gave His life, a ransom for many, shed His blood, and made forgiveness of sins possible, that's the only way that this separation can be done away with. In other words, all human beings are in need of what the Bible calls reconciliation. We need to be brought back to God because of this separation that exists. It also says in Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 20, and here's another verse that speaks of sin's consequences, is the person who sins will die. Well, that's exactly what the Word of God says in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. The wages of sin is death. Ezekiel 18 and verse 20, the person who sins will die. This is not just talking about physical death. That is one of the consequences of sin, no doubt. But this is talking about an even greater death. This is talking about eternal death. This is talking about eternal separation from God. You know, it's important for us to realize that when the Bible talks about death, it doesn't mean that we become non-existent. All human beings exist forever, but not everybody has true everlasting life, true eternal life. That's only for those who know the Lord Jesus. Those who don't know the Lord Jesus personally, they are going to exist for eternity, but they will exist for eternity separated from God, ultimately in the lake of fire, a tremendous time of torment and judgment because of their sins. That's what the good news of the gospel is that the Lord Jesus came and he offers forgiveness of sins. So rather than us suffering and experiencing the wrath of God, the Lord Jesus experienced that for us. So we don't have to experience this spiritual death. Yes, it is true, the wages of sin is death. But when your sins are forgiven, then we enter into life eternal. Eternal life. I may be talking to somebody right now who has never experienced true forgiveness of sins. You might say, oh yes, I've sinned, because most people are willing to admit that. But maybe you're hearing for the first time that there are some serious consequences to our sins. And what are they? Death. The major consequence for our sin is spiritual death. So if you're talking to a person from a Jewish background or any background, show them these verses. Let them know that there are terrible consequences. This is my own testimony. I was clear about the fact that I had sinned. Nobody had to convince me of that. But I never understood the consequences of my sins. It wasn't until the Spirit of God began to open my eyes and open my heart that I began to see for the first time that I was really in danger of experiencing the wrath of God because of my sins. And how I thank God for his love, for his grace, for his mercy that he showed through the person of the Lord Jesus. If you've never trusted him and you're listening now, do that even today. Well, our time is almost gone, and I mentioned to you at the beginning of the program, if you would, take that piece of paper and that pencil that I asked you to get and write down this address, MMC, Post Office Box 6611, Chesterfield, Missouri, 63006, and write to us because we're making a special book available to you. It's called The Case for Jesus the Messiah, incredible prophecies that prove that God exists, incredible prophecies that proves that Jesus is the Messiah, written by John Ankerberg. It's about a 150-plus page book. I would highly recommend that if you get it, before you give it away to somebody, read it yourself, acquaint yourself with some of these wonderful truths that are in the book. He deals with some of the major messianic prophecies that are in the Bible, showing what the rabbis believe them to be saying, and then coming back and showing what the true biblical interpretation is. So we want to make that available to you. If you send us in a donation of $12, we'll be glad to mail this to you. Write us at MMC, Post Office Box 6611, Chesterfield, Missouri, 63006. You could also log on to our website at MidwestMessianicCenter.org, MidwestMessianicCenter.org, and there's all kinds of information on our website. I deal with dozens and dozens of questions that sometimes people pose concerning who Jesus is and is he the Messiah and so forth. There's also other kinds of books and literature and videos and tapes that we also make available as well. So if you have internet access, go ahead and log on. If we could help you in any way, just let us know. You could email me and ask me questions as well. Well, I hope that this series has been a practical one for you on messianic prophecy and how to use the Romans Road, but to do so from the Old Testament. We just started. There's going to be more to come concerning how to use and finish the Romans Road from the Old Testament. So I hope that you will tune in next time as we continue on with this very, very effective way to witness to your Jewish acquaintance. Well, again, thank you for tuning in, and until next time, may the Lord richly bless you.
The Messianic Voice with Marty Zide is the radio ministry of Midwest Messianic Center in St. Louis. Our goal is to proclaim Jesus as Messiah and Savior to everyone, but with special emphasis on God's chosen people. If you'd like to know how to effectively witness to your Jewish friends and neighbors, or understand better what God's Word says about Israel and the Jewish people, check out the resources we've made available at our website. Simply log on at MidwestMessianicCenter.org. You'll find books, videos, and audio material designed to assist in your evangelism efforts and your personal spiritual growth. Inquire about our evangelistic magazine, featuring testimonies of Jewish believers. We offer home Bible studies, Jewish evangelism seminars, and free tracts that you may pass along to your Jewish friends. Again, you can visit us online at MidwestMessianicCenter.org. We would love to hear from you and know that you're partnering with us in this very important ministry. Again, our mailing address, MMC, P.O. Box 6611, Chesterfield, Missouri, 63006. Again, you can visit us online at MidwestMessianicCenter.org. That's MidwestMessianicCenter.org. You may also contact us by email through our website at MidwestMessianicCenter.org. We appreciate you spending this time with us today and invite you to join us again next time as we proclaim Jesus as Messiah on The Messianic Voice.